5 years ago, Steve Grand single-handedly wrote 250,000 lines of computer code and produced the world's most advanced form of artificial life in the form of a game. It's called Creatures, and if you play it, you'll meet the Norns, virtual pets with brains, genes, and hormonal systems that live and breed in real time on ordinary desktop computers. There are roughly 1 million of these Norns living in cyberspace right now. More than 400 websites track their behavior, and fans frequently email favorite Norns to each other. Well, what do they look like? In the words of their creator, they are
soppy, dewy-eyed, awfully cute and sickly creatures who I have learned to hate over the last 10 years.
When you come across a Norn for the first time, what's the first thing that impresses you?
It depends on whether you know how it's done or not. They're pretty simple creatures. They're not very bright. But the important thing to realize is that I didn't program the creatures into the computer. So then, although I'm their creator, I didn't tell them how to behave. All I did was program the rules for behavior for very much simpler things like nerve cells and chemical reactions and the kinds of things that biology uses. And then there are large networks of these nerve cells and chemical reactions that combine together to make a thing that lives and breathes and thinks and learns for itself. So once you realize how it's done, then they get a little more shocking because they're creatures with minds of their own who live out their own lives, make their own decisions, and I have practically no control over them at all. In fact, they hate me, I think.
And, in fact, if you were to come back and see any one of these creatures now, you would have no way of predicting what that individual Norn would be like.
No, none at all. And over the last 5 years since the game came out, they've evolved and changed as a species as well, so I probably wouldn't even recognize most of them anymore.
What happens if two Norns get together? Is there a possibility of mating, of breeding?
Oh, certainly, yes. Everything from mating behavior and love chases and falling out and all the usual romantic things that we all go through to actual mating where they swap genes and the combined genomes from the two parents become the recipe for designing the children.
Do they evolve in the same way that we think that that other creatures do?
In principle, they can, yes. In principle, survival of the fittest will enable them to exploit improvements in their genetics that have come about through mutations or from crossbreeding between two different genetic types. In practice, what you get is a kind of anti-evolution because the people who look after these things really like the weird ones. So instead of the perfect ones surviving, it's the ones that go and sit in a corner and burble who get put on the internet and sent out to other people to breed from. And so it's actually the weird ones that survive, rather like dogs, I guess.
Yeah, survival of the fittest doesn't really apply, although I suppose somewhere there must be someone who is running this and trying to create the ultimate Norn.
People do, and I'm amazed at both the patience and the skill that they apply to this. People run whole sessions where they breed to try to breed in a particular characteristic or breed out a characteristic. And people have named the mutant types and the mutant genes and all sorts of stuff. I was really impressed by the quality of the science people do.
Are they software or are they living creatures?
Well, you can ask the same question about us. You might think that we are atoms, but we're not really. We are the patterns and relationships between atoms, and what makes a living thing alive is those relationships rather than the stuff itself. So there's no reason in principle why these software creatures shouldn't be alive, because we're software too.
When we think about what life is, what someone what makes someone alive, it's an interior life, the imagination, the soul. Most people, I think, would say that that's what distinguishes human beings from machines. Is it what you're trying to do to, I think at one point in your book you said you were trying to figure out how to build a soul?
Yes, I may have hyped it up a little, but yes, what you're talking about there is really consciousness rather than life, and it's perfectly possible to be alive and not conscious. Every time you go to sleep, that happens to you. And I think what we really prize about life is not so much life itself as consciousness. The word imagination is absolutely critical to the concept of consciousness. Unless you have this inner world, this virtual world inside your head, you aren't conscious.
Once you start using the word soul, it implies a, a kind of existence that we don't ordinarily associate with machines. How can you put a soul into a machine?
We don't normally associate it with machines because the machines we've made up until now are very, very stupid. But that doesn't mean anything in principle against machines. I can't see any alternative to the fact that I'm a machine. I'm also conscious. But in every respect, I'm a machine and I obey the laws of physics. So consciousness and machines can go together because I am one of each.
Making that jump makes it possible for you to begin to think about how you can help a machine to acquire a soul. Is that the right way to phrase it?
Yes. We have to learn to think about machines differently. We've only had machines for a few hundred years, and we haven't got very good at making them yet. And to some extent, everything we've done has been to try to give machines no soul, to make them reliable, predictable, unsurprising, and to do exactly what they're told, which is exactly the opposite of a living thing. Living things are unpredictable and do what they want. So all of our science has been aimed towards making machines that were like clockwork. But that's just one aspect of machines, and machines can be very much richer and more complex than the ones we've made up until now. So just calling human beings machines, I don't think denigrates human beings at all. It just gives machines something to live up to.
Can you tell us something about the invention of the Norns? What was going through your mind when you began to work on them?
Blind panic, mostly. This started out as a 9-month project, and it came in a little bit late, about 4.5 years late. But when I started thinking about the problem, all I was actually intending to do was to create computer pets for people to play with. I thought it would be cute and fun. But I very quickly realised some things that sent me down a slippery slope. I realised that people wouldn't find these creatures fun unless they were engaging, and they wouldn't engage with them unless they really believed in them. And it's extremely hard to fool people into thinking that something is alive.
When you were working on this, you must have had various creatures that preceded the Norn, but you weren't fooled? Is that what you're saying, when they showed up on screen?
Well, I know everything there is to know about these creatures. Well, at least I did before I let go of them and they evolved. But I was still surprised. Quite often I was surprised. The first time I saw two of them playing ball with each other, I nearly fell off my chair because I knew that I hadn't programmed them to do that. And there they were batting a ball between each other. After a bit of analysis, I realised that it was no better than a couple of three-year-olds playing together. It was what you call parallel play, where they were both getting some benefit from playing in the same space with the same object, but they weren't actually playing with each other in the way that older children would. Wow. But it still surprised me.
You know, the one thing we really haven't talked about is the moral implication of creating artificial life. It's a kind of playing God, isn't it?
I guess so. I'm an atheist, but yes, it's playing at being a creator, certainly. But then we create life without much thought quite frequently. Quite often people decide to have children saying to each other, well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? And lo and behold, they have children. And we breed cows and then we shoot them and eat them. We tend to have a fairly cavalier attitude to life.
Do you worry about your Norns? Certainly not everyone who raises them is the kind of caregiver that you would approve of.
No, that's true. There's one particular person who styles himself anti-Norn and runs a website entirely devoted to torturing my little creatures. And I feel marginally sorry for the Norns. From my point of view, I treat them much as I would treat ants. I'm happy to exterminate ants in large numbers when they irritate me and spoil my garden. So I'm not too bothered about the Norns either. But the good thing is that when people start being cruel to them, it raises the question of what it means to be cruel. Are they alive? Do they have rights and responsibilities? Do we have responsibilities towards them? Can you be cruel to software?
You're suggesting, actually, we need to have this discussion before any more highly developed artificial intelligence begins to be made.
I think we should have had this discussion before any highly intelligent and advanced natural life forms were made. We don't really have a very good moral stance yet. We don't know what life is. We don't know when it starts and when it stops and how we should treat it. Our moral skills are not very good. And we need to think about these issues, not because of artificial life, but because of natural life and how our power over natural life has increased. And now we have to face problems with abortion and prolonging people's lives and cloning and all these other issues. And to a large extent, I think artificial life just throws all these issues into sharp focus. It gives us a second example of life to compare with and experiment with and think about these problems with.
Steve Grand is the co-founder of CyberLife Technology and the creator of the game Creatures. His book on artificial life is called Creation, Life and How to Make It. He's currently at work on an artificial orangutan named Lucy.